All right, okay. So, access services. Yeah, there's a big hype going on, I reckon, around at the moment. You guys excited? Yeah. All right. I'm going to just quick raise of hands. Who loves the old school access for desktops? Yeah, not you. It was like people going like, yeah, it's old stuff. I feel sorry for you guys. All right, hopefully I'll convince you that there's better stuff, there's new stuff, that we're going to make this awesome. I reckon the future is bright. History is dark, but the future is bright. So, this session is called That Access is Back. Access is Back. I put this in the title because I thought access has been dead for a few years, like 2, 3, 4 years. In SharePoint 2010, what was called access services and access web databases, don't really think it took off a lot. See a lot of head shaking. Yeah, I was shaking my head as well, nearly fell off once. So, if anyone has ever heard my name before, Radi, I am more affiliated with deep technical stuff. This is the first not so technical thing I'm ever doing in SharePoint, so maybe I should change career and do less technical stuff because there's so much attention. Right. All right, we're going to look at what access services is. This is a level 300 session, so it's going to go a bit deeper than some of the other access services sessions that were previously demoed. I've spoken to a few people over the days of the conference. Not many people know about this stuff, so I am going to do quick intro stuff to maybe, for those who are not very technical, to get an idea of what this is and how it can help. A bit about me. I'm a SharePoint MCM, whatever that means. Thank you. There's one person that knows what that means. I even spelt it wrong in the slide. So just like Access 2000, sorry, Access 97, MCSM is history. I'm an MVP, which probably just means I talk a lot rather than do things these days. Sorry, no offense, MVPs, I love you. But I did try to offend you just now. I run, I own, I have a company called OneBit Software. It is a company based in Bulgaria. I'm extremely proud that everyone here knows where Bulgaria is on the map. Yep. Central Eastern Europe, small market. There is SharePoint. In fact, some of our biggest clients in Bulgaria are in this room. But small markets, small dreams. I work everywhere else but Bulgaria. Yep. This session is about stories. I like to tell stories because I believe people can relate to stories about what we have done with access services for our clients. That's what this session is about. I'm going to share stories. And I run what's called the Web Platform User Group in Bulgaria. I have about 21 people in that user group. Sorry, joke. 121. Yeah, so I do like web stuff. Okay, it's enough about me. Maybe the key point here is I'm not from Microsoft. Means you can trust me. I'm going to tell the story as if it's from the field. That's what I do. We implement stuff. So, quick agenda, access services, and I'm using the term access services and what it's all about. We're going to look at creating access apps. I'm going to show you how you can create those things and what the best ways are. I'm going to talk about how to adopt the technology into your organization. Maybe I'll convince you that this is actually something that's worthwhile for you to explore. I'll talk about how and what we have done to help people get on board with it. Actually, one person, we've got one client with it. So, we're going to talk about configuration deployment. Maybe it's not so easy to get it up and running. I'm going to finish with that. This will cover some technical topics, but I'm sure it's going to be extremely exciting. And I will have a Q&A session, which is just about my excuse if I run short of time. Sorry, if I have extra time that I couldn't fill in. If I run short in time, it means that you can use the second view on Yammer and I'll try to answer your questions there. Okay, let's do this. So, this slide. Maybe you've seen it before. I think a few points here is something that I want to communicate. We all know Access for the desktop. It is extremely popular, extremely popular. It's old. It's probably been for longer than I've been in IT. Access and Excel are probably the most adopted Office applications that, in a sense, form some kind of application or a business application, or the concept of flexible data, depends on what accent I choose to use. I grew up in Australia, that's why I don't speak like a Bulgarian. So, classic Access desktop applications. It still exists in Access 2013. It's very well progressed. It's very popular. Everyone who's a bit above the business person and not the IT person has done maybe something with Access. There's tons of applications using that technology today. Some are extremely complex with many VBA code module, things like that. Others are much more simple. It was huge because it did solve pure business needs. MDF files, hopefully you've done something with them, or hopefully not. Now, on the right-hand side of this slide, we've got something called Access Services. The distinction is very important. Access Services is a SharePoint service application, just like Excel services and maybe Visio services. With Access Service, we can deploy and manage what we call Access Apps, a new type of thingy in Access, right? They're very different from what's on the left. They're completely different. One is old, the other's following new technologies, HTML5 for form rendering, JavaScript for interactivity between forms. You only need the client to create these things called Access Apps. All the data does not stay within the actual file. It goes into a Microsoft SQL Server database. You could argue that you could have done that with old stuff. You can. But this goes and is centrally managed all throughout the SharePoint farm. It lets you do centralized access control through the SharePoint site. In a similar way, you do access over, so you do permissions over SharePoint apps. It's a very dangerous word, this access word. It allows you to scale in ways that it has never allowed you to do so. It's got a really nice, consistent user interface. And it is a solution in the no-code space. The reason why it's a hot topic now is because InfoPath is dead. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. InfoPath is fading away. Deprecate, whatever you want to call it, it's dead. Yeah, so it is a potential candidate for capturing of data, which usually means forms. And that's why it's worthwhile to explore. I'm here to show you the key problems with that. What was bad about the Access world? There's too many of them. They're poorly designed by maybe not people who have Access experience, but people who understand the business. So they get some kind of business value out of it. Another big problem is that they just exist everywhere across the file share. Copies of them exist in even in document management systems. Key challenge is maintaining the Access client and maybe even licensing it until they pulled out the Access runtime, which let you use built applications but not have the desktop client and license it. Generally, those things existed on dispersed computers across the organization. They tend to get lost. And when people leave the organization, no one knows what's in those files or who owns them or what to do with them or whether they can clean it. So there's information risk. And of course, no data quality. Those were, at least in my view, when we were doing an Access Services project, some of the key challenges that IT reported. Of course, on top of that was the amount of service calls that IT was dealing with in order to solve problems with Access Client. How Access Services attempts to solve these problems. They are web-based, which immediately opens audiences to people that not necessarily use Windows operating system or do not have the Access Desktop Client. So you have a web-based view that works on mobile devices. Win number one. It's a SharePoint component, so all the bells and whistles that SharePoint gives you, like the ability to centrally manage it, maybe style it, theme it, and so on, it centrally becomes the place for corporate data, SharePoint. Have you noticed that trend where just Microsoft wants you to put everything into SharePoint? They want to take over the world. It's working. You get cross-browser support with mobile capabilities. What's interesting is you can brand them together with the site, so you can create your theme for your SharePoint deployment and apply that. You can do interesting deployment scenarios. You can create an app and you can give it to your IT team to put it in your corporate catalog, and then it'll be distributed to the organization with extremely good upgrade scenarios. We can talk about that soon. You can publish an Access app to the store if you want to earn money from the Office store. There's about, I think, 6 or 7 Access apps on the store, and Microsoft have built them all, I think. You get SQL in the back, which means you can at least manage that in a consistent way. Central control. One of the big topics is the ability to or potentially migrate Lotus Notes apps somewhere into SharePoint. Access Services is one of those options. We are doing a project like that where, well, it's going to take forever, so that's why I said we are doing a project like that. But potentially figuring out Lotus Notes utilization and how it's being used and what applications exist is difficult, but you can put them into Access if those models match. So the solutions, the benefits, centralized data store, central control action, the ability to share, so everything that SharePoint gives you that's social, you can do URL sharing, security, data is cleaner, and you have a true IT management story for this. Those are the key benefits that should look into. 4 ways to create them. Essentially 2, but Microsoft sells them as 4 ways. You can use the Access client. You can use the Create New app from SharePoint. You can consume them from the Office store, or you can use one of the Access templates. By far, your starting point is check out some of the Access web app templates and the Office store. So let me quickly jump to a demo. Let me just figure out these screens. Awesome. So SharePoint site with nice SharePoint theme. If I open up Access and go to new, well, there is no new button. If I just open up Access, it's going to ask, what do I want to do? You'll notice there's 5 templates. They look big. They're very different from this second one and this first one. If you go and search some of the online templates, these 6 ones will usually show up at the top, but the one next to them, Desktop Lending Libraries, it's a desktop app. The interface looks like this. Well, if you choose one of these, the interface looks completely different. It's actually going to ask you, where do you want to create this? So it's a bit confusing here. You can't really just see that from here. That's your first starting point. The second starting point, and this is where it gets really cool, is you go to SharePoint and you add an app. Everything's an app in SharePoint. Right, and I'll click the SharePoint store. I'm not going to sell you anything, trust me, except my time. But so it's loading. SharePoint store does that, and I'm just going to type in here Access. All these red things are Access apps. They're recently new. If I click, for example, Mileage Tracker, the support app website. Interesting, created all by Microsoft. And you can actually have a look at some of the cool features. Some of them are more exciting than others. For example, this meal application, meal delivery. Interesting. Questionable. Right. Business contact tracker. So let's see what you can do with this. There's more pages as well. There's more than six, but I don't know if anyone else has built one of these and published to the App Store. Is there anyone who's done this? No hands. All right, selling, hair. So managers, selling, orders and products, ideas. Everyone does ideas and voting, vote tracking. Apparently it's important. So yeah, this one has images. I'm going to add it to the SharePoint site, straight from the Office Store. It's going to do the typical app trusting. Do you trust it? This app can look at info. That's fine. Out of all the apps, these are the safest ones for you to trust. So what did I do? I did ideas. Yep, it's installing. You can refresh the site, maybe. This is, by the way, this is Office 365. My first demo is Office 365, my second's on premises, just so I could colorize it. There you go. It's gonna log me in a few times. It's gonna work on it. I wonder if Bill Gates had a dollar for every time one of these spins. Oh wait, he does. Okay, so this one actually looks pretty cool. Right, on the left is the typical tables interface, ideas, votes, people. On the top is your views towards your data, so filter by group, your data sheet view, which people apparently love, the list view. There's quick filter interface, and there's the field interface, or the data controls. At the top, there's buttons. You get out of the box, you get your normal CRUD operation buttons. And at the bottom, there's related entities. So there will be in the background relationships between these tables, suggestions, ratings, and you can probably do something with them. You get nice forms. This is interesting stuff, HTML-based. You get image controls. You can look at entities, pictures. Let's look at votes. That's a summary of all the votes, ideas. Now this form is done slightly better. Share, hope it doesn't crash. Oh, yeah, it's telling me, it's actually doing validation that my user doesn't have an email. That's fine, I'll ignore that. This is someone else's app, it's not mine. Anyway, what's a bit more interesting than all of that, and it should have been interesting if it shows, there it is, this icon here. If you notice a second ago, it disappeared. If it disappears on you, just go out, come back in. There's a nice bug there. And yeah, make sure your thingy is on 100%. This laptop thinks it's a tablet, so sometimes it goes to 125%. So there's two links. One of them is exceptionally new. It got launched on Monday, this thing, Apps for Office. I'll talk about that in a second, but you can customize this in Access. It's the easiest way. At the bottom, it'll say, do you want to open this file? And notice the file extension, it's ACCDW. I'll open this in Access. So on the left, I see my tables. And actually, I'll do navigation pane, so we can actually see all the Access objects. Tables, they're very similar to what they were and have always been. There's queries with relationships, all the Access features, and then there's forms. So what was it? It was suggestion list. So there's the first form on the website. And what this allows you to do is it allows you to see how apps are built. It is the best way for people to learn about how to do these things. In the background, there's all the objects. You can see everything, basically. You can see how it's done, how it's not done, what these things are. Let's look at the people. is, oh, and actually people form, people list. There's the people form. So some of the more interesting controls. This thing on the left is the filter list. Not quite sure exactly how it's called, but one of my more interesting ones, the web browser control. The reason why this is cool is you can work with the data source to it. And you can potentially, maybe you have a URL that has something interesting, you can change that URL with a web browser control and maybe show things that are related to the data by passing the ID of the object. And right here I have the, let me just figure out what it's called. It's called the related items control. Immediately that creates a view based on the relationships that exist in the between the tables in the back end. All this is form generation technology. It actually is used in a few places across Office, all the same engine. Buttons are interesting. You can create a button and change one of the icons to maybe a phone, and then hook it to some macro code in the background. Sorry. On-click event, this would create me an on-click macro. Talk about this for a second. One of the things you can see is some of the existing macros that exist in the application. Add rating. I'll just do add suggestion. They're both complicated. So parameter section at the top, and just basic logic. Look up a record in people, set the variable to the ID of the person if that person has an email. If you remember a second ago, I got an error. It was saying my email doesn't exist. That's why I got that error. Further down, there's just basic if-then logic. If there is no user, then there's the message that I basically got. And if everything's fine, let's do some proper business logic, create a record somewhere else. Now, all of this goes into a SQL backend in the database. All of these objects get translated into SQL. So if I open up SQL, this will be a table. All the queries will be views. The forms will be forms in SharePoint. They get auto-generated. And this can get really powerful. This is powerful stuff. My first tip when exploring this and whether it can do things or it cannot is look at all of the ready apps, go through all of their macros, figure out what they do, and see if it's right for you. Okay. That was my quick introduction. Does anyone have any questions at this point in time? Ooh, two. Sir on the front. Hold that question for my next demo. Just remind me about it, and I'll approach what we will do, typical VBA programming and a few other stuff. Yep. Yep. Cascading lists. And I guess I'm not a big Access guy. I'm more of a SharePoint guy. But that's the one thing I know that they've done. So the gentleman just asked, so if no one else heard, is what do we do with other programming like VBA into existing Access? I will answer that. And the second question was, what is the big improvement cascading lookups? There was a question over there. Yes?
You had mentioned that this goes into SQL backend. Is that in the SharePoint content database or separate?
It's SQL. I'll show you in the architecture slide. I've got an architecture part which is a few slides ahead, and we'll revisit that question. But the question was, where do all these SQL objects go? Yep. Yes, and I'll talk about that later. I know what everyone's going to ask. Can you kick off workflow? Can you modify the SQL objects? What do you do with VBA code? Can you modify the HTML forms? Can you call web services? Gentleman over there. Yeah, then my next part of the session is migration. Tables, multiple attachment fields. We'll do that in the demo. I'll just create, just tell me what you want me to create before we move them to, so, okay? And anyone, yes, yes? Sorry, I can't see because of the speakers, they're huge. Yeah, that's the general idea.
And
absolutely, yes, I'll talk about that later in my session. Gentlemen, right there at the back. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll just keep going and leave your questions at the end. All right, so what do you see? Let's do this. I told you I've never spoken to such a big crowd before. Okay. Migration, adoption, figuring how to implement this in your organization. I think this is very important, this part, because it's all great, but how do we make it work for us? So the first thing is, when we talk about migration, it's a very complex process. It costs a lot of money. The reason why it costs a lot of money, because no one knows everything about the usage of Access databases in an organization, or, for example, Lotus Notes apps, or anything else that we could potentially put into this thing. When we did our project, we figured out that we can only migrate what's most important. Usually, people know the most important things. We say, that's what we're going to do. And the reason why we had to limit our scope is because everyone wants to know how much money is it going to cost. It's very hard to put a price on something that you don't know how much it's going to cost. And it doesn't matter if it's a fixed price project or a time and material, the people that are paying the money need to know how much it's going to cost. We documented a whole lot of stuff. The key thing here is don't migrate things that don't work. It's amazing to see how many things just people think they work, but they do not. Good luck trying to estimate that. You can do a lot of importing. You can potentially import from Access 2010. I should probably say copy-paste, but import is fine. Excel, data in Excel, lists in SharePoint, SQL, those options exist. When you're working in Access, you can say, import me a table from something else. I'll show that. Moving away from Lotus Notes. Lotus Notes is ugly. It's not ugly, it's fugly. But yeah, you just got to move away from that stuff. Yeah. But it's still a fact that 70 million people use Lotus Notes, and the amount of content in Lotus Notes is, I don't reckon there's enough data in Office 365 compared to how much data there is in Lotus Notes. Oh, yeah. Anyway, there is more data in Office 365, I'm sure. So if you are doing Lotus Notes migration projects, just a bit of history. Domino Mail, I think, is the proper name. It'll go into Exchange, so that's your site mailboxes, your mailboxes. Directory, you can move to Active Directory or do connectors. Lotus Notes client becomes essentially, that's the fugly part. It essentially becomes Office, which is nice, and Metro, and all that cool stuff. Your notes templates, they become into either list data or site templates, and your application databases, you'll do one of those things. Try to put it into lists, try to model workflow around them, try to model forms, and access services. Hey. So there are a few partners that do work around that space. I don't know the names, but I'm sure you guys are awesome. Now, discover and assess. Too many S's in that second word. So has anyone noticed I've got an ass in my name? Okay, this product, Microsoft Office Discovery Risk Assessment Server 2013, not many people know about that product. It's actually an underground product. It allows you to scan your network for potential use of Excel and Access. I will show you a screenshot. This can warrant its session on its own, but it's core purpose is to discover Access databases within the network, and it does a few funky things like measures risk in a very intelligent way. But it measures risk, information risk. There's a few other file share scan tools out there that would potentially automate your discovery process. Sometimes it's quicker to just search and then ask questions on what you found rather than just ask questions. Hybrid access. This one is very weird. When we talk about migration, this is key. This is absolutely key. It, in a sense, addresses the question, what do we do with VBA forms? When we talk about a hybrid access application. Very funky keywords there. But you've got your Access 2003 file with all its data and all its forms and all its VBA magic. And on the right, you've got a deployment of Access services. It's already deployed, ready. What you do is you import the tables into an Access app from the 2003 file. So suddenly all of these tables will appear into SQL with their data. You then remove the tables in the Access desktop application. This is a weird one. You delete them with all their data. You just delete them. And then you recreate them back as linked tables pointing to the backend, to the SQL backend. So suddenly you've got an Access app that is in a web browser, and you've got all the cool people that want to use the desktop app to use the desktop app over the same data entity. And those people can use their VBA. The web people can use all the cool new HTML5 JavaScript backend automation things that you can do to facilitate that process. And you immediately expose that data, first in SQL, second to people that do not have Windows operating systems. They just have a browser. Browser's fine. And when it's in SQL, you can do magic to it. You can maybe monitor a table for messages. So when a new record appears into that table, you would send out an email alert. Or you would monitor a table in SQL for change and then kick off an item that goes into a SharePoint list and maybe starts a workflow process. So it in a sense, starts to take the possibilities to a new level. I'm going to do a demo on specifically on that. Might be a good idea to hold your questions until after the demo. Excuse me.
Yeah. Just have
to first convert your table field names and the data so that they were web compliant. Yeah. Well, the reason that got fixed, yeah, so the question was, in 2010, predominantly, you had to fix the field names. And if you remember Access Web Databases, which was the component for 2010, that all that went into SharePoint lists. And essentially, the reason for that name fixing, because it had to fit into SharePoint. And SharePoint does very interesting names as to the way it contains metadata into things. So that was the core reason to do that. Now it's different. You still have some unsupported characters, but they are unsupported at the SQL level. They get automatically fixed for you. Okay? So another thing in terms of adoption, consider branding it. Right, people make much more sense, people like things much more when in one way or another it follows the corporate branding. In this version, the capabilities are still limited. It will inherit the theme of the SharePoint site, which is a really good reason why you should invest in a SharePoint theme that is specific for your organization, because more and more no-code based applications will look at that stuff. So I think the out-of-the-box Access look is okay, but you can do a lot. And I will briefly talk about what you can do with CSS. So the question at the back there was, can you reach out to that data that lives into SharePoint Access databases through the service application? Absolutely. The question is yes, and I'll show that in the demo. You connect to it with the native client or OWDBC. It's an SQL database. You get an SQL interface. You can do anything with it. I will quickly show you how you can expose it into Excel. And of course, when it's in SQL, you can do anything with it. This slide is a bit old because on Monday they updated stuff. So it's very hard to be current on a SharePoint conference because you come there ready with all your slides and your demos and they've got something new. Right. This save as a package interface. What it allows you to do is publish your app. Why would you want to publish it? Well, from Access, the desktop client, you can publish directly to a single SharePoint site. You need owner permissions to that site, and you can publish it. And then it's for consumption by URL by everyone else. You can save it as a package and give it to your SharePoint guys for them to put it on the app catalog
If you're not familiar with the app catalog, this is for internal SharePoint on-premises deployments. It's the way to distribute apps to the entire organization, instead of referring to the Office store, which is a place where maybe you can buy apps for free. There's no such thing as free, not at least in the Microsoft world. So that's the ability to publish apps. Now, another thing in terms of adoption, if this thing has to work in your organization, you're going to have to do some training of your people. The first training that we did is we had workshops to demonstrate the capability of Access Services, just to spark up some interest amongst people. We created a wiki and a help site with simple interfaces and screenshots. We have two videos of how to do quick stuff, and that's good. That makes people see stuff and potentially buy in. Announce it as a platform. This is how we do Access now, instead of the old way, because the old way was bad. But the most important thing is you have to identify the key people in the organization that could drive this technology and get better results out of it. The so-called power users, maybe. That's what I'll call them now. The people that are somewhat more technical than someone who's not technical and that have potential Access experience. They will usually love this. We had people that were loving this. They loved it. Migration teams, this is an interesting one. Depending on your scale, you might have thousands of these things. You're not going to be able to do it by yourselves. You need people to help you do it. The reason for that is, at least as a consultant, I don't know the business apps as much as the end users do. So what we did is we migrated most of it and the most complex part, but we got people to migrate their own because it's really easy. Yeah, and have a team in your organization that is there to consult for Access adoption. So maybe you've got people that are using Access Desktop. They need someone to contact to ask questions. That is absolutely key, at least in our case it was. Another point about adoption, if you still love the client and you want to use desktop, it was not long ago, actually, it was 2 months ago, the Access team published the Access 2013 runtime. So now it's available for you to do desktop versions. If for some reason you still need to do that. Yeah, there's no such thing as free, but it's free. So let's go back to my demo environment. So screen swap, change, remote desktop. Do you guys see that? Yeah, it doesn't look very well, does it? Just give me a second. Yeah, that's a bit better. All right, so this is, we're moving away from the cloud, right? We tried it, now we're moving away. People are going to hate me for this session. I don't think I'm going to walk away if Bill Bearer actually hears what I'm saying. So, on-premises SharePoint. Now, I'll just quickly open a few links. There's an on-premises site. There's this thing. There's this thing. So, on this page, I binged it, and I found old Access 2003 templates. And even Microsoft flogs the fact that someone asked for them. They do that very often, don't they? Yeah. So, if I scroll further down, I'm going to find many 2003 templates. Just pick one, please. Pick one that interests you, and I'll download it and do something with it. That's what everyone picks. Everyone does asset tracking. I'll do it for you, gentlemen. Sorry? I'll do both. All right, let's do access tracking first. I'm going to download it. I did download this before just to test it. So pure access stuff, right? Everyone's seen this. I can add a new row. test by, I don't know who's here, and it costs that much money. Right, there's a lot of forms. Let's see how many tables, because that's what's going to be here. Okay, there's a decent amount of tables. You can see some of the table names. I'm not going to, come on. I have to close now. I hate this. Just leave me. All right. I'm going to take this file and I'm going to save it. I'll save the database. I'll save it. I'll keep it in its format. This thing. MDB file. Save it as. Oh, Jesus. Oh, is that politically incorrect to say that word? Oh, hang on. I'm in America. Okay. Sorry, I did not hear that. All right, I've got this file, asset tracking, I tried with the service call management system. Now, this is a bit weird, but you can put it into SharePoint, right? Drag and drop interface. I'm gonna open it from SharePoint as well. But before I open it from SharePoint, I'm gonna create a new app. I'm gonna go add an app. How are we going with time? Okay, so I'm going to find access. It's all the way at the back. There it is. It's these red icons are access. So what was this? Asset management. Great. In the background, it's creating an app. It's deploying it. It's going to appear here. It's thinking. So tell me a joke. I've got a few. We're waiting for it to do that. It's done? Okay, you don't want a joke? Okay. No, this is politically incorrect. There's jokes that you don't want. All right, so this is the empty access app, right? How many MCMs do you need to screw a light bulb? As many as you can afford. Okay. So I'm going to click this link, open this app in Access to start adding tables. Adding tables, like, wow. Adding tables. So I opened the app, so I created a blank app. It's completely blank. You can use this thing, so maybe you want history. You can see all ready tables. This icon with the blue and the table at the back means that it's more than one table. If I do something more basic like task, employees, for example, is just a simple table. So you can either start typing your tables or you can just add them from a huge collection. Or you can create tables from existing data sources. This is something that I want to do in this case. I want to create from what do I want to do? Maybe I want to do this. No. I want to do this. Sorry, just forgot what I want to do. It's good that I have notes, though. Create an access table. Yeah. Create another access table. Yeah, I remember the desktop thing. Screw the desktop thing. It's not that interesting. I don't have my list, the one I actually wanted, so I'm going to improvise until I find it, right? So let's look at the desktop. Thanks to the gentleman. I'm going to I can't believe I forgot this. I thought I was doing that, but I couldn't figure out the... Oh, sorry, I keep on opening the wrong thing. Yeah, no, this is the one that I want. This is... You should come do this. It wasn't that hard, was it? You know what? I'm giving away memory sticks, my company. They're 8 gigabytes or 4, I don't remember. Come get one so I don't throw it at you, okay? All right, so I'm going to get all the tables, all the tables. I'm going to import them. And they get imported. All of them were imported successfully, so the asset management thing, I'm sure, is the only one that works, but thank you for choosing that one. You can do things to it. You can rename tables. You can change icons. If I do this, I think you can maybe change the icons. All of the interfaces get automatically generated. So, for example, departments, there's a form. It will take all the fields that it thinks it's necessary to take. It gets automatically generated. Each of those you can edit and modify, and you'll also see all of the relationships that got imported also got created in the body. So it just did it automatically, right? Now, all I need to do here basically to convert or to get from an MDF file into Access is to just save and click launch the app. And now it's just straight on moved across. Right. Maybe not everything is moved across. So VBA stuff won't get moved across. The limitations there are questionable. But let's go back to this desktop app and open that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to delete all of these tables. It's a bit weird, but I'm going to do it. It's going to tell me a few times that relationships exist. It's actually going to tell me to close this form again. I'm just going to keep on clicking until it can't click no more. I'm going to try this again. Delete, yes. Right, delete all the tables. You'll notice at the bottom there's modules. There's VBA galore. Right, a few macros. It's telling me that the tables don't exist. That's fine because they have no tables. Funny that. So I'm going to keep this to the side and then go back to my Access app in SharePoint. I actually have it here, so I'm just going to reuse what I have and go customize in Access. Push this to the left so we can see. Now, I'll go to this interface here, connections, and I will enable read-write connections to the underlying data tables. Click, they're great, they're enabled, and now I'm going to view this information. There's my server, SP2013 one-bit access. The database name, notice the uniquely generated name there. An SQL authentication username and a randomly generated password. You can do a few things like disable all the connections and reset the password if you do want to. And if you are doing this to Office 365, you get the same stuff. You get absolutely the same stuff. So maybe I can actually quickly show if I do. Yep, ideas and votes, which is what we just showed a second ago. Hang on. Okay, another joke while we're hanging on. What's the difference between a SharePoint consultant and a Linux administrator? Sooner or later, everyone needs a SharePoint consultant. Okay. I'll probably have time for one more. Or if anyone can contribute, feel free to. I'll repeat it on the microphone. No, they're all too abusive. And political, can I say political jokes? What does Bill Clinton say to Bill Baer about SharePoint? We could have brought down communism with that. I'm just going to go back in my machine while this is taking too long. Sorry. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of this information. So there's my server. Now, in Access Desktop, I will grab some external data. I'll get some ODBC data, and I'll link the tables, not import them. So I'll create a new connection. I'll use the native client. So that actually needs to be installed if it doesn't exist. And here there's some help to tell me how to do it properly. So server equals this, database equals something, UID is for the username, and password is this. I'm just going to quickly show you my copy-paste skills. I'm a certified copy-paste master.
Is that database to be renamed?
Sorry?
Is that database
No, not in a supported way. It's pretty enough, but think about when you have thousands of them, right? Yeah. No. Yes, perfect question. I'll attend to that. So what was this? I've already got it, but I'm just going to do it. Access. Right. So I've saved my connection. I'm going to choose it. It's going to ask me for the password one more. I will not choose trusted connection. Now, this is looking into the SQL storage for access. It's got more things than I want, so I am only going to do this. And I'm going to get it to save my password. It's going to ask me for each table. Right. My forms will still not work because the table names are not that pretty. So I'm going to have to bear with me. Can someone tell a joke while I do this for all tables? No jokes? Come on. Thank you. I actually did not hear what you said. But it was funny, that's sure. Man, I would fill an evaluation form for that person. Okay. But if it was important, you can try to say it again. Asset categories. All right. So I've renamed the tables. If I look at things now, so for example, assets. The forms still exist and I can work with them. They are now backing up to the SQL database. And I want some more money here. Never figured out how to use this. Yep, so that's real stuff. It is going on the SQL backend. The moment this is saved or the entry is persisted, if we go to the web view of this, so launch the app, and I look into assets, and I actually figure out what I did, I might actually find my data. Oops, there was something in there. What was it? Issues? It's one of these. Come on, what did I do? Thank you. There they are. Oh, no. It doesn't matter. The data isn't there. There you go. Yeah. So it is there. There is the data. I need some time to find. Now, because it's auto-generated, it's doing a few funky things that we're not enjoying. So it's picking, for example, the ID field and the description, things that are maybe not the meaningful fields to create those things. So you do need to tweak those things for it to you know, work in a better way. But now I've got the desktop app and I've got the web client, and they're all looking at the same database. So you can take this further. You can open maybe Excel and get some data in here. So same story. We want an SQL Server connection. Server name is sp2013/1bitaccess. Following username and password. I wish I did not close you. There. I would like this database table, and I would like maybe all of these things. So, I'm just going to get all of them, because then I can do like Yeah, but that's too easy, isn't it? Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, so I'm not an end user, sorry. I did say this is the first non-technical thing I've ever done in my life, so. So it's going to do something, it's going to import this, and we can create pivot data out of that. And if I actually knew the data, you know, we can figure out dates old and things like that, and build charts out of that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so not much time left, but let's continue. And I will have a Q&A session. So a bit on the architecture. This might be slightly outdated. I got it off SPC 2012. But the core stuff is the same. On the far left, we've got all of our Access App databases into SQL. Things like tables, macros, and queries, they get transformed into SQL. In the middle, there is the application layer. You don't really need to worry about that. You cannot tweak it much. You cannot change it. And you can still not talk to the APIs before Monday. In the background, it gets created into all these SQL objects. The triggers are interesting. People usually ask, can you do your own SQL trigger? You technically can. Touching the database is still considered an unsupported space. If you are doing it, create another table and do your SQL programmability on that table. There is a big possibility that if you use some of these buttons here, you can't see, the on and insert update events, they will or could potentially intervene with your programmability. These are the object mappings. Again, I stole this from someone else. I took it from someone else. I'll just leave it there for a second so you can grasp that. This is an example. So this is a typical view, gets created into SQL. There's two data formats. So Access 2007.20, it's the ACCDB file format. These web files are now on ACCDW. I don't know what DW stands for, but maybe database website. But that's the way to distinguish them. I'm running short on time, so I'm hurrying. How to configure this? It's not that easy, but it's not that hard as well. You first, it's part of Enterprise, it always has been as far as I know. You need the March poo update because you do need it. That's where some of the advancements of the Access platform, they're not in RTM. In fact, if you deploy one of the more modern Access apps from the store, and if you get a nice correlation ID, an error, it's usually the first problem is that the March public update is not installed. You need the client to design apps. You need SQL Server 2012. If your current SQL is something else, create a new instance specifically for Access and put your databases there. You do not need your SharePoint farm to be on 2012, but you need the Access instance of SQL Server to be 2012. You need a whole bunch of SQL stuff, LocalDB, DAC framework, the native client, all those things, CLR objects. If you are missing one of them on your server, most things will work, but that one feature that just needs that thing will just fail. A few other prerequisites. If you are adopting this, Access apps are apps, so you need a healthy app deployment, and sometimes this is tricky to get deployed. Configuring apps for on-premise is tricky. You need a few service applications, app management, subscription settings, secure store. You need to figure out addressing. Many people still haven't figured out addressing in their company. They use server name, random port number to access their SharePoint environment, right? Single server deployments. Apps need wildcard DNS records for them to be maintainable and sustainable. You need the app prefix configured, the app domain configured, and you need a site collection to deploy these things somewhere. You need to have owner permissions.
All of these are prerequisites. If any of those are not good, you're going to have a hard time doing this.
SQL Server settings, because it backs up on SQL, it requires a few not so standard and definitely not default settings. The service account that is running the Access service application needs to have those permissions into SQL, DB Creator, so it can create databases, Security Admin, so it can set permissions on them for other people to access. Contained databases needs to be enabled. It's not allow triggers to fire others. SQL people hate that. You need mixed mode security because of that database naming and the way it generated my password and my account to access that. You need the default language to be English because of that table naming issue. And it's just the instance. I told you they're racists. TCP/IP protocol and named pipes, and you need your SQL port to be open for connectivity to work. IIS needs a funny setting. Load user profile. Needs to load the user profile information in order to do its thing. There's very limited things to what you can do. So on the right are the settings, and on the left are the other settings. You can have more than one target access server. So if you want to scale that instance, I should say. There's a few PowerShell commandlets to configure that. I'll just give you the link because PowerShell commandlets are sometimes boring, especially SharePoint, especially the naming conventions. If you are deploying this, the best place to read is that white paper, Configuring Access on Premises. It is good. It is very good. And Kirk Evans' blog is also really good. Kirk Evans actually shows some problems with pre-RTM, with RTM, with post-RTM. If it's all too hard, you can just consume it from the cloud. I told you I'm not selling you anything, but you can do it. It's available across most of the plans. In fact, it just says yes, yes, yes here on all of the plans, which is interesting, okay, depending on how you determine interesting. And another thing that's new is it is now under general availability, so it matches the SLA that Office 365 matches. It's been there as a feature for maybe 2 years, but it was not considered as part of the SLA that Office 365 adopts. That's why general adoption was conditionally low. A few things that were announced on Monday that you should be very aware of is the ability to embed apps for Office into Access. What that allows you to do is have an iframe or something that views a web app, and you can talk between the app and the Access interface and the Access data. So you can do JavaScript manipulation over the form. This was not available until Monday, so it's very important. I do not have slides for it, just because I came here prepared for older stuff. You could do quite a lot of things to the actual page. You can do real programmability. You can do JavaScript-based stuff. So technically, VBA is still valid on the desktop, but the shift is towards using new things. And with the app model, you can talk to web services and maybe communicate to other systems, send them information, maybe send them email alerts to alert your users when some kind of activity sends, or use apps to talk back to SharePoint and maybe put data into SharePoint lists that would kick off workflows and do real business modeling. And this is why this becomes interesting, because you now have form generation, you have data containment, and you have the ability to build business processes together. And maybe you'll talk back to the data and manipulate it in one way or another. It is becoming technically interesting. You can do a lot with this. Okay, before I wrap it up, a few key takeaways. It's fantastic. I think it's awesome. I think everyone should at least think about it. When you go to your meeting in the companies that you work for, say, look, we learned about this access services thing. Maybe it's time we look into it, because adoption is still very low. I'd like to see that grow. Migrating is very difficult, but it can be done, even though it says it's not difficult there. I'm not selling you anything apart from my time. Yep. Plan your deployments because if you are to adopt access, you need to do those funky things that were in the configuration steps. That full page document says basically the same things. I've just bulleted them out. And if you don't want to deploy it in-house, think about Office 365, especially if you already have licenses. I cannot find one argument for everyone to just put that stuff online. You can access your data. It's managed by you. The subscriptions always have enough storage for the amount of data that you could put in. I just don't see one practical reason to put it out there, considering that even security is sold as, you know, best place to put secure data. Yes, sir.
Can the desktop app talk to the web app in the
right? Yes. So it's the same thing for on-premises. You can put your desktop files into SharePoint as files and refer to the data into the apps, so into the SQL backend in the apps. Yeah. And that is a key win for that. So some references, I've collected you all of the links, so check out my slides if you're ever doing this. The previous ones I showed you are actually better. Thank you, you're awesome. These are my contact details. I love you. Now, there's two microphones there. If there's still unanswered questions, we've got at least 5 minutes. I would love to answer them. Yep, they're already up on Yammer. All of the materials are up on Yammer. If you go to the session, it's SPC 301. You can get my slides. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Yep, feel free to contact me. Link tables. Modify the table in the schema? Yeah. Can you modify it from access? Yes. Yeah. Yes. However, you're then going into the cycle of upgrading. With the Monday releases, there's an actual upgrade story of changing the schema with time, right? Because the key point here is you can have many instances of those apps. You can have 1,000 instances, right? So your upgrading has to be targeted. If you do it through the app model and the app catalog, you have an upgrade story, and each of those apps can be individually upgraded, and you can test it first. Because directly changing the schema is sometimes scary. All right, IT team is scared for that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, there is no migration story from InfoPath to Access. You have to do it manually. You have to figure out a way to get the data. You can link SharePoint lists. You can potentially promote the data from InfoPath to SharePoint and maybe extract it, but you're generally looking at a custom story to move from InfoPath to this. Yeah. However, I heard that the InfoPath session that was yesterday at 9 a.m. had something about using the Access Forms engine into InfoPath, so the other way around. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, something like that. I still have to, there's so many new stuff this week, I still have to get up to speed. Yeah. So, can't answer anything, but. I'll repeat it. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, if you do say it on the microphone, it's going to record. You know something? I hate my own voice, so you might not want to do that.
Yeah, the update you mentioned for the Office 365 embedded apps, you. Is there an equivalent update coming down for on-premise for that, do you know, or is that already on-premise?
So apps for Office in the on-premise access is coming. I spoke to the Access team. They said soon, we don't exactly know when. So the bits are ready. They were hoping to get it as Service Pack 1 for Office. It did not go in through, and the Office client, the Access client, is still not updated as well, but it just did not make it that much. So I'm expecting very soon. Of course, of course. Got my USB? Oh, perfect. There you go.
Yeah, I have two questions.
Sure.
One is regarding search. How does that work with hooking in from SharePoint search into the Access?
Yeah, it still doesn't work, but you can do BCS.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to do it on its own.
So is that ever going to work or no?
Sorry?
Is that a future enhancement perhaps or no?
Oh, automatically to scan your content? No, through BCS. But the effort to create with SharePoint Destroyer a few entities through BCS, and your authentication is easy. Usually BCS, the biggest challenge is, can it support the objects you're calling through the mechanism, and can you do the authentication? Those are the hard parts. Gotcha. So you can get it.
And then the other one was in regards to document libraries and building that into an Access service.
So not now, but with the apps thing, you can send from InfoPath to a document library. But at the moment, you can only reference list that. It's not going to do anything with your blob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So can I somehow disallow the customization of the app by the users?
Yeah, can you just say it again? Can you allow it or?
Like as an Access app writer,
yep.
Can I somehow disallow the customization of the app?
Yeah. So that interface that says save as a package, that will now change. It now has two options. It's going to have many more options that lets you tweak the way apps get published. You as an app developer would create the app, and then you would embed it into the Access database.
Okay.
That's the new thing. Sure.
So I have a couple of questions.
Yep.
One is, how does it work with the SharePoint permissions as far as create, edit, read?
Yeah, so you need read access to open the app.
Okay.
From that point onwards, you can work with the application.
Okay.
You need read write access, so your, what was it? Visitors, members, and owners, right? Your members in SharePoint, they can edit that data. It inherits the permissions that you have to the site that's hosting the app.
So it's at the app level?
It's at the site, sorry. Yes, so the site. If you have access to the site, you can do the access that you have on the app, on Access.
So you can't like break inheritance from the site or anything like that?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
Yeah. You generally cannot do that with apps. Apps,
okay.
Yeah, as a user with apps, whatever you have on the site is what you have on the app.
Okay.
But in the app, you can do business logic.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, if one of the apps on the store, it's a bit weird. It lets you authenticate to it, to the actual app inside the app,
mm-hmm.
with a special password that they give you in a message box when you open the app.
So you can write inside the app?
But that's business logic, yeah. It's not true security.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question that I had is, like, from your presentation, I see how using Access can be helpful for migration from a 2003 or Lotus Notes, for that matter.
Yep.
When you're trying to develop some new data structures, when would you decide that you want to go with Access versus a list or something else?
Yeah, so the typical MCM answer, it depends, right? So it's very tricky. Lists can do so much. They're just one blob of data with interesting features against it, like calculated columns and sorting, and you get a nice list view interface. You've got some potential limitations, which are more and more getting wiped off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the list is, right? Access is, I guess, a beast on its own. It's got its database. You can do related tables. So now we're extending the related entities concept, which is not a good idea usually to put in SharePoint, right? You can still do lookups in lists, mm-hmm. but it's not the best place to do relational data. SharePoint is an unstructured system.
Mm-hmm.
But Access is very data related and relationship related for that matter. So it really depends on those things, and it really depends on whether the form is good enough for you, whether you can do things with apps to it, or whether you just prefer the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck with Access.
Hey.
Hey.
You mentioned during your talk that you were working through some Lotus Notes migrations.
Yeah.
So we're doing the same thing where I'm working. And I was wondering if you could mention some a recommended tool. Are you using a tool to migrate the data, or are you just writing code directly against?
No, we migrated most of the data in automatic way. We created our own tools is the proper answer. We only migrated what we knew is very important.
Okay.
And the rest we had training material to get people to do it by themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you do need some kind of automation, especially if there's terabytes of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
I was curious how the import utilities work with forms that have several subforms.
Yeah, forms and subforms, yeah.
Okay.
So you can I think one of the controls there is sub view or sub form or something like that. Generally, I don't know that much about the actual form capability. The web browser control lets you view other information, and the Apps for Office lets you take that out. So those are things where you can do, because the Apps for Office is really just, you know, a sense of showing something else next to the form.
Okay. Yeah. Would it also work with a form that's used like a query by example that would load into a report?
Yeah, you can do that, yeah. Reports is another thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, how's it going? Fellow Aussie here.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Hello.
Right,
hey,
so I got a very simple question for you. Right?
Yeah.
So with a client, with a front-end, back-end database using Access, where you have local tables and a SQL connected tables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your scenario, your example, did not cover, the only thing it covered was local data moving over to SQL and relinking.
That's right,
right.
Yes.
So typically in that situation where you use client-side tables or local tables on the front-end and you have back-end, back-end Access,
yeah,
connecting to link server, to using link tables to a SQL server,
yeah,
you're profiling local data,
yeah,
right? So if you're using disconnected record sets and things like that, you're,
yeah,
using local data for scratch tables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, with the upgrade path, what happens?
Yeah,
profiled local data, what happens?
Yeah, so you can still do business logic over the two data sets,
yeah,
right? It depends on what your goal is as well. Do you want to move away from local tables? Because maybe that's your goal. If that's not your goal, then you're going to go into this hybrid scenario. And the typical case where that is done is when you've got another system that offers the data that you're after.
So what you're saying is redesign is required. Because if you, I was just thinking about that as I was standing,
yeah,
in line. Right?
Yeah.
If you, as you moved, if I only move the SQL Server components, right?
Yeah.
There's an issue in that as well, because the data is now sitting on SQL Server. The import process,
yeah,
would literally move data from SQL through Access back into SQL again.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas all I want to do is basically delete the link connections.
Yeah.
But I guess the path, like you said, I can't name the database. I can't.
Yeah.
You can't import, so you have to go through that process.
That's right, yeah.
And you relink them anyway. That's fine.
Yeah.
And that works out fine for the desktop app, but now suddenly you've got a web app that is incomplete in functionality, right?
So
see, if you move the SQL, link tables
link
across,
tables, yeah,
right, and you leave the local fine, and you relink back to
the new
yep, Access services, the desktop application will work fine,
yeah,
right? But the web app now does not have the local data component to it.
It
is
right,
now technically non-functional.
That's right. It's limited because half of your data is in...
It depends on the client-server.
That's right. Yeah. Which
things.
Is then the next question. Is that your goal? Do you want to keep it in that extra SQL?
No, I think you're going to have to profile it.
Yeah.
So basically, we'll have to redesign the local tables.
You are, yeah.
Tag another column with like the current logged-on user.
Yeah.
Right? Treat that as a component that you want to move across.
Exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
Revisit your logic, right? To make sure that...
Yeah, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It might be an expensive thing, but it's not necessarily
yeah,
a bad thing.
Yeah.
We did something similar. So one of the applications was talking to other systems as well. So what we created is the concept of a data warehouse. We pulled in the tables into a new model, a new schema, in a way that at first it made much more sense. It was much more scalable, and we can put it in there.
Right.
Yeah, and sure, we put some indexes on as well.
Cool. Could I grab a card?
Yeah, of course. Call me anytime.
If I want to consume a table in SharePoint that has a column of type manage metadata and people or group, will Access do that? Will Access bring that into that form and you can manipulate that?
Manage metadata, I'm not 100% sure. I've never tested that out. If you are linking to SharePoint, there's a possibility that it's going to bring back the value because the metadata fields are ID value within the result set. The same applies for lookup fields. My guess is that this would work, and it actually works for people, so I think this would work. But through the JavaScript model, you can always pull that information as well. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. If anyone wants a business card, feel free.
Can I get one?
You've got one. There you go. Thanks for coming to the session. It means a lot to me. In SharePoint. So about workflows, you talk to the SharePoint list and you kick off business process. The reason I didn't talk it is it got announced on Monday. Yeah, but that's how you would tie now the SharePoint interface. So it puts it at a high level, this thing. Maybe next Monday, the new features, yeah. It's the power of the cloud.